Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good. I got a question for you.
What's up?
How can people get a hold of us for Lead 1212?
Oh, that's a great question. We've got a great looking website and we've got a lot of functionality on there. It's www.lead1212.com.
I'm glad something has functionality on it.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, check us out. This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave. Hey, everybody. We're so glad to be here with you today. For Lead 1212, we're going to talk about a book. Is that right, Chris?
That's right. The book is a very popular management book called First Break All the Rules. It's by Marcus Buckingham, written in 1999.
Yeah. And so tell me why that's a good idea.
What the book is about is Marcus Buckingham climbed Mount Everest, and he relates this to leadership. If you can imagine climbing Mount Everest and the top is the perfect team, that's how you get there, step by step.
One of my favorite books is The North Face of God, and it's about the guy climbed Mount Everest, and he's talking about, you know, all the trials and all the things
they went
through.
I don't know that book.
Yeah, I think I'll know the author by the end of this.
Okay. We've got Wayne with us, too. How are you, Wayne?
Wayne!
What's up? How are y'all?
Tell us how things are going for you.
They're going all right.
Wayne, you like a lot of outdoor stuff. Have you done mountain climbing?
I've not done mountain climbing. I have done some spelunking.
Okay.
Okay, we don't cuss on here. Thank you.
So where did you spelunk?
I don't know. I literally went with a guy that I worked with at the time.
That is hilarious.
We drove to Eastern Kentucky. We pulled off on the side of the road, parked in a church parking lot, walked up a hill. He pointed to the ground and said, "That hole right there is the start of the cave." And we slid down that hole.
Wow.
And that was it. So we walked all the way through these caves, and I said, "Do you have
that's amazing
a map?" And he said, "No, I know this place like the back of my hand."
So, okay. Did you have equipment, or you just walking around in there?
Had a helmet and a light.
Wow.
Old clothes.
If I went, and I can probably say the same for Dave, it would be.
That's good stuff right there. I don't care who you are.
Well, I was much younger, so it would be that way for me now. But
oh, yeah.
The funny thing was, this guy, he didn't have the map. Knew it like the back of his hand. We're in there 10 minutes. He gets lost.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
He literally said. See, it made me think of the Johnny Cash autobiography that I read where he ended up getting lost in the cave. And
my gosh.
Everything was so dark, and he didn't know it, but he was on the edge of the top level before
good grief.
You know, if he'd a couple feet either way, he'd been dead. But this dude took me to this giant open kind of amphitheater and said, "Don't move. I'll figure out how to get out of here." And I'm like, well, I wasn't going to move anyway, but now wow. I'm for sure not going to move.
Good night.
So did it ever occur to you that you may not get out of there?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wow. How old were you at the time?
25.
Okay. My goodness.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Mm-mm. We didn't have a good foundation to start from, so we just had to wing it.
And it's, you know, that's complete darkness. Without those lights, that is total darkness.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
My goodness.
The author of that book was Ken Geyer.
Ken Geyer. Shout out to Ken Geyer.
The North Face of God. It's, for me, some of you probably don't know this. We had a son that passed away, and when we went through that, I read that book, and that book talked about kind of, you know, all the difficulties in life, and he kind of paralleled it with climbing the North Face of God, and so it's a really good book. Really helped me. If you're going through a time of grief, I highly recommend it because it will help you process and think through some things. So,
Dave, what you went through, I think if not most of us, definitely a lot of us think that is the worst thing that can happen to a parent. It is the worst nightmare. And for you to give a book like that the shout out and praise, it has to be a great book. I'm going to have to pick that up and read it.
It's really good. And, you know, here's the thing. Grief doesn't leave you. You just learn how to process through it. And that's just, that's the key with anything. And this life is hard. And
it is.
You know, and we have a lot of fun here. And we want to joke. But the only way you can get through anything is Jesus. And if you don't get that from us, then we've missed the boat.
That's true. You know, and you're right. It never goes away. I lost my mother in 91, 3 days before my first professional fight. And to this day, a smell can bring back her memory.
Oh, yeah.
Or a song that just hits me a certain way. And it's just like losing her all over again.
Same. I totally get that.
And that was 91. I'm not old or anything. No.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hall.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man, you are on fire today. Yeah.
All right. So let's start. First, break all the rules. Again, the idea is this is a person that climbed Mount Everest, and he's going to break down how to build your team, how to make sure your team knows what to do, and essentially build the perfect team.
Is that possible?
As close as you can get. This is something that I really believe in, and I use this in my meetings frequently.
Right. Wayne, have you ever been a part of like a perfect team?
This one.
Oh.
Thank you.
Wow. Dude is on fire today.
Love it.
El Fuego. Way to go, man.
So these are questions you want to start off asking yourself, and then you want to ask everyone on your team. And that'll let you know where people are, and it'll also let you know what's needed at the team. And the first is two questions, and we call this base camp. You got to set up base camp before you can do anything else. The very first question is, do I know what is expected of me at work? If you don't know what's expected, then you can't do your job.
100%.
Dave, do you know what's expected of you in leadership?
I do. I 100% do. And sometimes, but I will say this, I've been in ministry for, I'm pushing 30 years. And there was this, when I first started, I didn't have a clue.
You can't really excel if you don't know.
The older you get, the more you understand that foundational things of understanding, like this base question,
yes,
are essential for you to be able to build a team, grow a team, and honestly, lead, period.
Absolutely. How about you, Wayne? Do you know what's expected of you at work?
Yes.
Now, you have a team, too. You're a leader at work. Does everyone on your team know what's expected of them?
I try to make sure that they know.
If they don't, that's a failure on the leader. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
Well, you don't have to be mean to them. Dang.
So the second question of base camp is, do I have the materials and equipment to do my work right? Now, let me put a caveat in there. That doesn't mean do you have the best of all possible equipment and do you have the top of the line everything, but do you have what you need to do your job right?
That's good.
Everyone should answer yes to both of these questions. Do I know what's expected of me? Yes. Do I have the materials and equipment to do the work right? Yes.
So, Chris, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have one or these things both of these things?
And I've been in a situation where you don't have either, and there's no way to succeed.
So you can't survive it?
No. That's a good way to look at it. You can't survive base camp if you don't have what you need, and these are the two things you need for base camp.
That's good. That's good. And I think foundational leadership starts in the beginning of knowing the direction of the group and where you want to lead them.
Absolutely. So now let's branch out to Camp 1. If you're not familiar with climbing Everest, there's a Camp 1, a Camp 2, and a Camp 3, and you inch up and you have to stay there in a while until you get acclimated to the altitude. And then after you're acclimated to the altitude, you can then progress to the next camp. So these have to build on each other.
Gotcha. So just for the record, I'm a pretty large man. I don't climb Mount Everest ever. So, but I do know, I think it's important that you understand your limitations and how you get up there and what's your goal and how you accomplish it.
That's true. So many people die every year doing this. Many people. And
a lot.
The sad truth is they can't bring you down. So when you die, your body just stays there. The mountaintop has corpses on it.
Yeah. The book that I read, I mean, that's pretty much what it talked about, how there were people that were left there.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me. I can't even fathom that.
Wayne, did you pass any corpses when you were doing spelunking?
I did not, but I almost became one.
Well, we're glad that you made it out of there. Okay, let's move on to Camp 1. Camp 1 is, what do I give, is another way to phrase this. And the first question you want to ask yourself, and then everyone on your team, is, at work, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day?
Amen. So, what's that look like?
I need to ask, and sometimes that question is no. If I have someone on my team that doesn't have the opportunity to do what they do best every day, then I need to rethink what I'm doing. If this person is really good at something, then I need to give them a challenge in that area, something that they can do.
That's good. That's really good.
So in my job right now, we are in the process of training another employee.
Well, good opportunity
to join the team. And traditionally, all the training has been done by the leader of the department. So that would be me in this case. But one of my employees is very good at it.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic.
So I have him doing a lot of the training because it's a skill set that he has and I want him to develop it. And it gives him a different take on our department.
Oh, sure. And you're doing a great job by giving him that opportunity to do what he does best. That's fantastic. The second part of Camp 1, and this is an important one. Well, they're all important, but this one really strikes at my heart. It's, in the last 7 days, have I received recognition or praise for doing good work? Has someone told you you've done a good job in the last 7 days? And if they haven't, then you're not functioning at your best ability.
Wow. That's a interesting way to measure. I think that's a good measuring stick to ask yourself, you know, am I accomplishing? And, yeah, and if I am, people will see it, right?
Well, let me ask both you guys. In the last 7 days at work, has anyone told you you're doing a good job?
Yes, I have. I got lucky with my sermon yesterday.
You didn't get lucky. That was a wonderful sermon.
So, but I think it's important. I don't think we understand what that looks like. I think we should work on that.
Yes.
That's not why you do it, but you also have to understand, when someone says attaboy, that means you're actually accomplishing the purpose that you set out to do.
That's it. And that means everything. How about you, Wayne? Have you heard that in the last 7 days?
Yeah, there's a couple people that I really respect at work, and they're always very encouraging.
That is so important. So step 3 of Camp 1 is, ask yourself and then your team, does my supervisor or someone at work seem to care about me as a person? Not for what you can give to work, but just as a person and about your well-being.
For example?
A good example would be, I hope you could go around everyone that works with me at UK and say, does Chris seem to care about you as a person? And I would hope they would say yes, because I genuinely do. I have a deep care and affection for everyone there.
I think you're gifted in that way, because I know you encourage me by the way that you find things that I didn't even think about that you like within me. And I'm glad you did. Most people don't. So that's kind of
not true.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's important that so in the Bible, there's a character called Barnabas.
And I love it. Yeah.
He's the son of encouragement, and his goal is, he encourages people. Yes. He lifts people up. What if we became that kind of lifestyle and took on that lifestyle of Barnabas and said, you know, my goal today is to encourage people,
yes,
and to,
yes,
build them up. How would that look like for you, Chris?
Well, you know, I've always said that the world does so much to bring us all down, and it's going to do that. We don't need to bring anyone else down. The world's going to do that. We need to lift each other up and really exalt each other to Christ. And we could, if we all did that, this would be so much better. If everyone built everyone up instead of tearing it down, there's no limit to what we could do.
And let me say this, these two guys that I'm with, we do life together for the most part. We see each other at least once, if not twice, sometimes 3 times a week.
And yes,
the one thing that I know with Wayne, he's probably the most Barnabas type person I know, because
he is. Yes, he is.
And that's why I asked you that. I know you didn't want to hear that, but you really are. You always ask me how I'm doing. You always check on me.
Yes.
And then you always do that one thing that I don't like, because you're like, are you sure you're okay? Really? And then I'm like, Why am I not acting like it? You know, it's
get a little paranoid sometimes.
Gone it, Wayne. So I think you're really gifted in that area. I know you don't want me to call you out like that, but how do you find ways to do that is the question I would ask you, Wayne.
I just have to make it a priority.
I thought you were going to say, I have to make it up. And I thought, oh, oh no, that's so wrong.
No, I've got it. So I've got to make it a priority because I don't think
that's good.
For the most part, generally speaking, people tend to lean negatively.
Yes.
To not necessarily on a personal level to other people, but, you know, life is tough. Work is tough. Family is tough.
It is.
And if you don't intentionally try to be encouraging, then you're not going to be.
That's a good word. And I think that's what we're really called to do as leaders. It has to be intentional. That's a good word, isn't it? And I think I know in my leadership, if I know going into it, I need to do certain things and have that intentional effort going towards that, I think it's a blessing. And I think it's like anything with God's word. You have to understand God's word has all kinds of intentions for us to build us up, to give us grace, to live this life. And we have to throw that back out into the world so we can show people.
Oh, so true. That's beautiful.
What Jesus looks like. Because I'm just going to tell you this, and I say it with love. If you know someone that doesn't know Jesus, that's kind of on you. Because you.
That's true. That's a hard fact, but true.
It's your priority to show them who he is. And I think encouragement and loving on people. And again, Wayne, I know, but you're good at that. That's one of the things that I always found. I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but comforting from you, because you're always building me up, even though maybe I sometimes don't even deserve it. So I appreciate that.
He is fantastic for that. And let me ask, since both of you are leaders, let me ask both of you this question. If you realize you haven't complimented someone or told them they've done a good job in a while and you feel it's overdue, is there any person that you cannot find something to compliment about? I mean, everyone has something you can say good about them, right?
Right. And, you know, we can laugh and say, oh, well, but the truth is, if you feel that way, you're probably not looking.
True.
And that's just, and I know, let's be honest, there are people that get on my last nerve. Can I get an amen?
There we go.
And there are people who can be flat out nasty and ugly.
Yes.
What I've discovered in my life is mostly the reason they have that is something's happened in their life. And the best thing you can do is find something good about them and let them know that you love them and you care about them, not because of the way they act, but because the way Jesus loves you. And if you do that, it's a life-changing thing.
It is. It truly is. And that was a really good one. We're going to move on. This is part four. Is there someone at work who encourages my development? And that's that we're always developing, we're always growing, and that needs to be encouraged. So is there someone at work who encourages your development?
So again, how does that look? How do I encourage someone in their, I guess it's in their growth, right? Yeah. Is that kind of what we're saying? We encourage them to grow and as they grow. Is that, am I hearing that right?
It,
or
it
am
is.
I way off? Okay.
When I first bring someone on board, I have a one-on-one with them and I say, what are your career goals? And usually they'll tell me that they want to be the best in my department. I say, no, your career. You may want to work somewhere else. You may want to work in a different field. You may want to, like we work in IT, you may want to be a journalist or a project manager. And how do I, as a manager, get you there? How do I encourage your growth? And I've had someone on my team that wanted to be a project manager. And I worked it out with the project managing department to let them start to manage smaller projects and then become essentially a dotted line direct to the project management department. And eventually they got to move into that department where they wanted to be their whole life.
Yeah, that's incredible. When you encourage someone how to get there, I like the way you said that, how to accomplish their goals.
Yeah.
The problem is we're not relational. We're not built that way a lot of times. And we're not built to find out what's going on with somebody else because we're worried about our own self.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think that kills the church. If I'm honest with you, I think we're selfish people. And
we
have a great word and a God who gives grace.
Amen.
And if we don't. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if we don't put that out there in this world, then we've messed the whole boat.
We have. So. And you know, when I did that, another director came up to me and said, "You just lost a great person, and it's your own fault." And I said, "Well, they were going to go anyway. They weren't. This wasn't their dream job. This wasn't where they want to be, and at least they're happy now."
And they were able to get there through helping you out doing a great work, right? Yes. So what you had was a great worker the time you had them there, and that's the goal anyway, right?
It is. There's a very famous quote, and I can't tell you who said this, but it's in management. There's two thoughts. What if we train all the people and then they leave for other jobs? And the alternative is, what if we don't train them and they stay?
Yeah, they won't be happy.
No, they're not happy.
I think that's good stuff. I think that's really good stuff.
Very good. So, okay, we finished camp one. We're moving on to camp two. Camp two switches gears from what can I give to do I belong here? So the very first question, and let me run through this again. If you get a no anywhere, like if base camp, we had two questions. Do I know what's expected of me at work? And do I have the materials and equipment I need to do my work right? If someone says no to either one of those, you stop. You work on that one, and then you move on. Like in my group meetings, we will go around the table. Everyone, do I know what's expected of me at work? And someone may say no. Okay, they're stuck at that base camp. I don't want to say stuck, but they're at that base camp, and it's my job to get them ready to move on. So we finished base camp, and we moved on to camp one, and now we're going to camp two. Okay. And the first question is, at work, do my opinions seem to count?
Oh, that's good. And so there are many times we feel like they don't. And what happens when we feel like they don't?
You don't offer opinions. If there's no reason to, no use, or no one's taking you seriously, you're not going to offer up any suggestions.
You eventually shut up, don't you?
You do, yeah.
And that's a problem. So have you ever been in a situation like that, either one of you guys, where where you felt discouraged and the best thing for that you felt like doing was just shutting up? Have you ever had those? I've had those moments.
And anybody what happens? Else? I just keep my head down and just do my job, and that's it. I don't try to do any more than that.
But you're not being the best you that you can be,
not,
right?
And that's not the best team that we can have. And it's missing out in so many areas.
Well, part of this discussion has taken me back to a book I'm reading called The Bait of Satan.
Oh my, that sounds like a good one.
And as a Christian, the premise of his book is that if we follow Jesus, we give up our right to be offended and to react.
That's interesting.
And to react in any kind of negative way in these kinds of situations.
Say that again. We give up our right
to be offended.
That's really good.
That's strong. That's really strong.
So in this context, when your opinion doesn't get any airplay, then you have a choice. You can end up not giving your opinion anymore, and then you get really angry about it.
Yes.
And then you don't do as good a work because you're angry, or you do your work twice as well because you're angry.
Yeah, and what you're saying is a beautiful thing, because the word can offend me.
It can.
The Bible can make me, it calls me on the carpet a lot. And if I don't let it do that, then I've missed the whole point of what God wants me to be and who he wants me to be.
Yeah.
So that's strong, Wayne. That's really strong.
That's good stuff. I need to look at that book too.
Yeah, who writes that? I think I've seen that.
Michael, let's see.
We'll get it in a second. My bad. Keep going.
So we're at camp two, and we're moving on from do my opinion seem to count. And the next question you want to ask yourself and the people on your team is, does the mission or purpose of my company make me feel like my job is important? I guess, are you serving a higher good? Is your job more important than, I guess, just the group? Is it a bigger or higher good that you're trying to serve? And let me give an example of that. I used to do IT work in manufacturing, and there's a lot of money in that, especially in automotive manufacturing where I worked, and I could save my company lots of money, and that was really cool until I got involved in healthcare, and I could see the results of my policies and procedures that I implemented directly affect patient health, and that for me really matters. That's a big deal for me, so that's what motivates me.
And I think, you know, one of our goals on Lead 1212 is to encourage leaders in church. Yes. And if you don't find a place where you're motivated, you've missed it, because I'm just going to tell you, God is where you want to be. And if you're being motivated by who he is and how Jesus loves me, then you're on the right track. If you're not motivated by that, there's something wrong.
Wayne, do you feel that your job is important?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, specifically, my job is responsible for the monitoring and operation of 150 miles of high-pressure pipe.
That's very important.
People's actual lives are dependent upon how good my guys are.
Yeah.
That's pretty important.
That's a big one.
Wow. So I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the next one. And this one is an interesting question because you ask yourself and then you ask your coworkers, but the question is not about them directly. It's about the rest of the team. And the question is, are my coworkers committed to doing quality work? And you understand what I mean by quality work. It doesn't mean, is every one of your coworkers an absolute rock star who does it the best job in the world every time? Because no one has that team. This question is, are they committed to doing quality work and the best that they can at their ability?
Right. And I think some of that you got to realize is it's on you if they're not, because you're not building them up. And again, you know, I hate to keep quoting Barnabas, but you got to encourage, you got to love on people, and you got to get them in a right place and let them know that you're proud of them. And, you know, I think those are the most things that motivate me when someone says, Dave, you're doing a great job.
Yes.
You know, thank you for doing this. And thank you for trying.
Well, it does. Yes.
It builds you up and it makes me want to do better.
There we go.
There T.I. is.
Well, one of the things that we always talk about at my department is I don't expect perfection.
Yes.
I expect effort.
That's it.
And improvement.
That's true.
And if I can offer assistance in some way or get you connected with someone who can, then let's do it that way.
That's it. Show me you're trying. That's what I want to see. Exactly.
And when you live a life for God, that's the only way you can get up. You have to do better than you did yesterday. If you don't have that motivation, I don't know how to get you motivated, because that's what the Bible tells us to do every day. Be better than I was. Love better than I did yesterday. Treat people better than I did yesterday.
I think that's
essential.
Absolutely right. So the last question from Camp 2 is, it seems like a simple one, but it's so important. Do I have a best friend at work? Wayne, do you have a best friend at work? You probably have a lot of best friends at work.
Make me sound like my kids. Everybody's their best friend.
Yes.
I have some people that I can say are our best friends. A lot of the people that I work with have worked there twice as long as I have.
Okay.
So I see them as friends, but also as mentors.
Oh, that's important. So important.
What about you, Chris?
I'm very lucky. I've got a couple of people that I consider good friends. And if my day is going terrible, I can block off time on their meeting for that day and say, hey, I just need to vent. Listen to what's going on and how it's affecting me. And they will give me unbiased, very good advice about what I need to do. Sometimes even if I don't ask for it, but they're always there to listen to me. How about you, Dave?
Well, I was going to tell you guys, besides me, and I know I'm your best friend, but I'm joking. I think it's important. So I'm a preacher. If I say no to this one, I'm in trouble.
You're going to make a lot of people mad.
But one of the guys that I partner with in ministry is a guy named Gerald Ems. And he is one of my best friends. I trust him. He's incredible. He treats people right. And he teaches me how to live this life that we call Christianity. And
oh, that's wonderful.
That's the guy that I want to go to war with. And I think that's where it comes back. Am I willing to whatever it takes, make this happen? And with a friend like Gerald, I think I can do it.
That's beautiful. And that's so important. So important. If you go to work and you don't know anyone or you don't have a best friend, you seem like an outcast. You do your stuff, you go home, you don't know anyone. You don't feel like you belong a lot of the times.
I get that. Totally.
So now we finished Camp 2. We're going to Camp 3. And this is the last camp before we reach the summit of Mount Everest. The first question is, in the last 6 months, has someone at work talked to me about my progress?
That's a great question.
It is, because I'm always growing and I'm always wanting to achieve more, and I need someone in that with a different set of eyes who can tell me how to do that.
Absolutely. So on the other side of that, are you being that someone to someone else?
That's it. You've got to pay it back. You absolutely have to be that person. Mm-hmm. Wayne, you've had a lot of progress since you've been where you work. You've had a tremendous amount of progress. Has anyone talked to you about that and guided you any of the way?
I don't know that people intentionally did, but the way that they led made it obvious that it was a successful method.
That's fantastic. Dave, you've as a preacher, you were always growing. I can't imagine that there's no top limit to being a preacher.
Sometimes it's my stomach that's growing because same we here. Have a lot of potlucks in here. The church.
Oh no.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have to get that guy out every once in a while. So
does anyone talk to you about your progress?
Absolutely. And sometimes I have people that I trust tell me things that we need to get better at. And yes. I do my best to not take it personal. And you know, I go back to what Wayne said, don't get offended. If you can do that's hard to do. It's really easy for us to say that behind this mic, but there's sometimes I get my feelings hurt. And sure, I got to realize it's not about me. And so if it's not about me, I got to hear what they're saying and become better. And here's the deal. Ultimately, my judge is in heaven, and that's who I have to worry about pleasing. I have to do the best job I can here on earth for him.
Amen.
If I
do that. Amen to that.
I'm on the right track.
You got that. Oh, I wondered how we're going to start. Here we go.
Up in here today.
I love that one. All right. So Camp 3, this is the last question of Camp 3. We're just about to, I guess, climb Mount Everest and build the best team we possibly can. And this question is, in the last year, have I had an opportunity at work to learn and grow? And in the beginning, you'll have a lot of those. But later in your career, those come along a little less frequently and they can be hard to come by. So you've got to have an opportunity to learn and grow. Dave, in your last year, have you had an opportunity to learn and grow at work?
Absolutely. And sometimes I catch them and I go right with them. And sometimes I honestly try to run from them. And so I've got to figure out what's the best for my ministry, for the way I'm treating people, for the way I'm loving people. And that's leadership for me 101.
Absolutely right. Yes.
Am I doing right by those who I love that are in my church? And I think in leadership, we have to understand that we have to work really extra hard to be that person for someone that they need and to show them that they matter. Absolutely. And that what they're doing matters, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
And you're right, 100%. Wayne, how about you? Have you had an opportunity in the last year at work to learn and grow?
I don't know that it's as an opportunity as much as it was a necessity. My boss retired end of November in 21. So even though I've done this current job for a couple of years, everything is different.
Yeah.
Now. So.
So you were, and I've been dragged into learning and growing, kicking and screaming at times too. And I look back and it's always a good thing for me.
Amen. And I think, kicking and screaming is a good way to describe it.
There we go.
Yeah, boy.
So now we're at the summit. And remember, if you can answer positively to all 12 of these questions, you have reached the summit. You're in the best environment you can be in with the best team you can be in. And when you do that, amazing things can happen.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we tell everybody that's listening, not all these things will apply in everything you do.
True.
That's okay. Some of these things, though, can help you. And if you evaluate it and work with it in your heart, it can change the way you do things.
Yes.
I think our goal in Lead 1212 is not to tell you all the answers. It's to give you some of the equipment that you can work with and the tools so you can be a better person as you try to lead people.
That's so true. That is so true.
That's the thing. I think I feel like ever since we've been doing this, I'm hoping that we help people to have those tools and to see different ways to work in their leadership and in their workplace.
Very good. And that's what it's all about. Exactly.
What I really appreciate about this podcast is the biblical basis that supports all these leadership thoughts, because we each have to ask ourselves, who is our true leader?
That's it.
Like, is it Jesus?
That's what it's all about.
Is it not? I mean, you don't really have too many choices. It's either
Amen.
Jesus or it's not Jesus.
That's it. Two Amen. Choices. Amen.
I was in church yesterday, and I kind of, as people were leaving, I asked them how they're doing and everything. And one of the little boys, as he came in, he said something to me, and I didn't catch it because I just didn't understand what he was saying. And finally, I looked at his mom, and she said, "He's telling you God made us all alive."
I love that. Oh, I love that. That's beautiful.
And that encouraged me, and it reminded me, you know, Jesus tells us in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God.
Amen.
If you want to be a good leader, this is what the ultimate foundation for leadership has to be God for me. Amen. And if it's not, then I won't be able to treat people the way I'm supposed to. I won't be able to True. Lead people the way God's called me. Have faith in God and watch what happens.
Amen.
Anything else? Wayne, you got anything for us?
No, I'm good.
All right. It. Hey, we're so glad that you took some time out of your day to listen to us. We're doing our best. If there's something we can do better, if there's a topic that you would like to hear us talk about, let us know. That doesn't mean we will, but we'll try.
We'll try.
I'm not promising anything. And if there's something that we can pray for you, please allow us that blessing. Yes. All three of us want to pray for you and lift you up. Yes, and you I promise if you send that to us, we'll do our best to pray for you.
I love it.
Have a great week. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. This is an LBS production, which stands for Pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for Laughing Because We're Saved. But we kind of like the Pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.